content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Anna Dean Silver from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Out in the Garden. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the book called Month by Month Gardening in the Carolinas. And this is by Bob Palomsky. And we left off last podcast in February. And we'll continue in February the topic was planting, and this is for edibles. In the coastal plain, sow warm season vegetables indoors in flats or trays. Try plants like eggplant, peppers, and tomatoes. Cucumbers, muskmelon, summer squash, and watermelon should be sown in individual pots or peat pellets because their growth may be hindered if their roots are disturbed. Piedmont gardeners can sow basil, chives, parsley, sage, summer savory, and sweet marjoram indoors. To encourage parsley seeds to sprout more rapidly, soften the seeds by soaking them overnight in warm water. Coastal plain gardeners can plant outdoors hardened off vegetable transplants of broccoli, cabbage, and lettuce. Plant small tubers or seed pieces, a piece of a large tuber containing at least one eye or bud of white or Irish potatoes. The soil temperature should be above 50 degrees Fahrenheit. Wait until next month in the Piedmont. Coastal plain and Piedmont gardeners can sow mustard, garden peas, radishes, spinach, and turnips. Wait until next month in the mountains. Plant short-day onion transplants for bulbing onions in the coastal plain. When the soil can be worked, turn under the cover crops planted last fall. Till the soil to a depth of 8 to 12 inches. Never work the soil when it is wet. Working wet soils, especially silty or clay types, destroys the structure and makes the soil hard, compacted, and unproductive. There are two indicators of wet soil. Soil sticks to shovels, and a handful of soil sticks together in a ball and does not crumble when squeezed. Lawns. Install sod of cool season grasses whenever the soil is not frozen. Sodding gives you an instant lawn in the shortest time compared to seeding. Delay planting warm season grasses until the daytime temperature stays consistently above 60 degrees Fahrenheit. For perennials and ornamental grasses, start perennials from seed. Plant for detailed sowing instructions. Divide and replant summer and fall flowering perennials as their new growth emerges. These include asters, chrysanthemums, and Shasta daisies. Roses. Plant bare root roses as described in the following shrubs and trees section. If you have to delay, which we'll get to in a minute, if you have to delay planting for a week, store the plants in a cool, above freezing, dark location, such as a refrigerator or garden. Keep the roots moist with sawdust, compost, or peat moss. To store them temporarily for more than a week, heal in, which means cover the roots of dormant plants with soil for a short period. The roses in the garden. Pick a well-drained spot and dig a trench about 12 inches deep and wide enough to accommodate the roots. Lay the rose down at a 45-degree angle and cover the roots and most of their canes with soil. For shrubs and trees, bare root deciduous shrubs and trees can be planted while they're dormant about a month before the last average freeze in your area. Plant them as soon as possible after obtaining them. Unwrap and soak the roots in a bucket of water at least 12 hours before planting. Broken roots should be pruned back cleanly to behind the break. Place the container-grown and bald and burlapped shrubs and trees anytime, except when the soil is frozen and when severely cold weather prevails. And for vines and ground cover, for those heavily shaded areas where grass won't grow, try ground covers. English ivy, periwinkle, and hellebores are excellent choices for shaded areas. If you didn't plant sweet peas last October or November, plant them outdoors this month. You can even start the seed indoors in peat pots 4 to 5 weeks before setting them out, giving them a head start before the temperatures get too hot. Dig up, divide, and replant overgrown clumps of liriope. Mountain gardeners can postpone this chore until late March or April. Replant the liriope divisions about a foot apart. There are some vines that are just plain frightening. When kudzu made its American debut at the United States Centennial Exposition's Japanese Pavilion in Philadelphia in 1876, little did the organizers and visitors know that this lovely porch vine would eventually be billed as the world's fastest vine, growing a foot a day and up to 100 feet in a single season. The rest is history. Vines, like Japanese wisteria, can become botanical pythons, strangling trees and pergolas with their sheer weight. Some vines raise concern because of their rampant freewheeling nature, not only in the garden, but also in nature where they have escaped. These include English ivy, Hall's Japanese honeysuckle, winter creeper, euonymus, oriental bittersweet, and porcelain berry. Do some research. Read local gardening columns in newspapers and gardening magazine articles, and visit private and public gardens to see these vines in action in the landscape. These background checks will alert you to any landscape surprises. And water gardens. A number of plants are the kudzu of the aquatic world. When they escape into streams, lakes, and estuaries, they form dense colonies, which interfere with boating, fishing, and other recreational activities. They degrade water quality by reducing oxygen levels in the water and displace desirable plants. Millions of dollars are spent annually to control these things, these thugs. The State of North Carolina Department of Environment and Natural Resources Division of Water Resources and the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources Aquatic Nuisance Species program educate the public and the plant nursery industry about these noxious, exotic, aquatic weeds. A good time to install a small water garden is in the spring when the ground can be worked. To calculate the size of the pond liner, outline the area and decide on a depth. Measure the length and width of the pool. If it's a circle or irregularly shaped, draw a square or rectangle around it and use the length and width of the square or rectangle. Use this equation to calculate the length and width of your pond liner. Length equals maximum length of pond plus 2 times the maximum depth plus 2 times the edging allowance. The width equals the maximum width of the pond plus 2 times the maximum depth plus 2 times the edging allowance. Center the liner over the hole and weigh down its edges with smooth stones or bricks. Slowly fill the pond with water. As the pond fills, gradually take the weights off the edges so the water will fill into the crevices. When the water comes within 1 inch of the top, shut it off and cut away any excess material, leaving about 1 foot beyond the rim. Line the edge of the pond with stones, pavers, bricks, or other suitable materials. For preformed pools, spread 1 inch or 2 of damp sand on the bottom. Set the form in the hole so the rim is just above ground level. Take it out and make any adjustments. When it's level, firmly pack soil around its edges. Fill the pool with water. Hide the rim with rocks or use a spreading ground cover. And our next topic is care, and a care of first annuals. Indoors, seedlings receiving inadequate light become spindly and floppy. Keep them in a south-facing window or place them under artificial lights for 16 hours a day. For outdoors, pinch off pansy flowers when transplanting to encourage branching and focus the plant's efforts on rooting and getting established. For bulbs, it's not unusual for some spring flowering bulbs to send up a few leaves in late fall or early winter. the bulbs will remain safe and still produce flowers next spring. Excuse me. It's not too late to send soil samples to your local extension center for testing because some additives, like limestone, take time before increasing the soil pH, ideally between 6 and 7. The sooner you submit a sample, the better. Lawns. Maintain Kentucky bluegrass between 1.5 and 2.5 inches in height. Mow tall fescue between 2 and 3 inches high. Overseeded ryegrass lawns maintained at 1 inch should be mowed when the grass is 1.5 inches tall. For perennials and ornamental grasses, mountain gardeners should inspect their perennials to see if any have been heaved out by alternating freezes and thawing of the soil. Firmly press them back down into the soil to prevent them from freezing or drying out. To reduce heaving, maintain a layer of mulch around your perennials to insulate the soil. Cut shorter ornamental grasses to 4 to 6 inches in height and pampas grass from 6 to 12 inches in height. When pruning back the pampas grass, wear gloves and cinch the top growth with rope to make removal easier. Trim away any dead leaves or stems from asters, coreopsis, and rudbeckia. Avoid damaging the crown of new leaves at the base. Wait until new growth emerges before cutting back. Miss Huff and Chapel Hill Yellow Lantana and Salvia. And for roses, cut and divide outdoor growing miniature roses when they're dormant in the Piedmont and coastal plain. Wait until March or April in the mountains. Prune roses that produce flowers on the current season's growth before new growth begins. Valentine's Day is often the recommended pruning time for coastal plain gardeners. Piedmont gardeners can wait until the end of the month or early March. Others prune when the forsythia is in full bloom. I wait for the rosebuds to start swelling before pruning. Prune ever-blooming roses now, including bush roses such as hybrid teas, grandifloras, and floribundas. Miniatures and repeat flowering climbers that produce flowers on current season's growth may also be pruned. In the mountains, wait until next month or April after the coldest part of winter has passed. Hybrid teas produce single flowers on long stems. Grandifloras send up clusters of large flowers on strong, straight stems. Prune both classes of outward-facing buds to develop an open, bowl-shaped habit. Repeat blooming old garden roses, species, and shrub roses that flower on the current season's wood should be pruned right before growth begins in late winter or early spring. They can be tip pruned throughout the growing season to encourage the production of flower-bearing side shoots, vines, and ground covers. In cold mountain areas, some shallow-rooted ground covers may have been heaving out of the ground by freezing and thawing soil. Once the soil is not frozen and is fairly dry, gently press the plants back into the ground to prevent them from drying out. Watch for signs of heaving among your small shrubs. The freezing and thawing of the ground can force shallow-rooted plants out of the soil. Replant any that have been heaved and mulch with 2 to 3 inches of organic material to reduce fluctuations in soil temperature. And shrubs. Shrubs can get a new look or be renewed when they have outgrown their location. Perhaps they were mistakenly planted along the foundation of a house and have begun to engulf the windows, have been seriously damaged or neglected, or have become leggy, with most of their leaves clustered at the top, revealing bare or lifeless stems, leafless stems below. Let's see. Oh, here. And here's, they have a side topic here of how to prune a crepe myrtle. And since I have 5 of them, I'd like to read this little paragraph here. And you probably have. There's a lot of crepe myrtles around North Carolina. Remove all broken and diseased limbs. Next, thin out all of the side branches 1/3 to 1/2 of the way up the height of the plant. Remove rubbing and crossing branches and shoots growing into the center of the canopy or upper part of the crepe myrtle. Make your cuts to a side branch or close to the trunk. Head back wayward and unbranched limbs. Make each cut above an outward-facing bud. This will encourage the development of branches behind the cut and make them fuller. Remove dried-up seed clusters within reach. This will give the tree a more uniform appearance and look neater. That was good, some good information. And next we're going into trees. Ice and snow accumulation can damage your evergreens with their weight or if they are removed carelessly. Begin pruning when the coldest part of winter has passed and before new growth begins. When pruning large, heavy limbs, follow the 3-cut approach to prevent the branch from stripping bark away as it falls. Avoid making hat racks, in quotes, out of your crepe myrtles. Follow the steps that I just read to produce a natural-looking tree from the accentuates that form tree form that accentuates the flowers, beautiful bark, and elegant structures. Excuse me. Vines and underground cover. Vines that have outgrown their spaces can be cut back now. Prune other vines that bloom on current season's growth now. Avoid pruning vines that will be blooming in the spring on last year's growth. After the coldest part of winter has passed, prune summer flowering vines such as Confederate jasmine, trumpet creeper, and Japanese hydrangea vines. Prune your clematis based on whether it flowers on last year's wood, this year's wood, or both. Experts divide the genus into three groups. Group 1 are all the early spring-flowering evergreen clematis and early and mid-flowering species. This group includes Clematis alpina, C. armandi, C. macropetala, and C. montana. These clematis flower on last year's wood and should be pruned after the flowers fade, but no later than July. The only pruning really needed is to remove weak or dead stems and whatever is needed to confine the plant to its allotted space. Group 2 consists of clematis that also flower on last year's growth, but will produce a second flush of bloom on new growth. These include mid-season large flowered cultivars such as Bees Jubilee, Henry I, Nelly Moser, and Vivian Pennell. Remove all dead and weak stems in late winter or early spring and cut the remaining stems back to a pair of strong buds, which will produce the first blooms. Occasional pinching after flowering will stimulate branching. Group 3 consists of late flowering cultivars and species that flower on this season's growth, such as C. flammula, C. integrifolia, C. jackmanii, C. verticella, and C. tangatica, the herbaceous species. These can also be pruned in late winter or early spring for the first 2 or 3 years. They may be cut back to a foot from the ground, later cut them back to 2 feet. If not cut regularly, this group can become very leggy and overgrown. We've run out of time for today's episode of Out in the Garden. Be sure to listen next time, and we hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Anna Dean Silver, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Out in the Garden is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.